you don't like being called a child. Seems rather demeaning, seems derogatory. But guess what? How does God see us? As children. We're the children of God. So I want us to think about what it means to be children of God. And believe you me, there is nothing demeaning or derogatory about being the children of God, because in the biblical way of thinking, you're either the children of God or you are the children of the devil. So we would much rather be children of God. Well, let's think about this. If we're children of God, then God is our Father. We are His children, and that is describing a relationship. And you know that in relationships, each party is responsible for part of the relationship. But this is a relationship in which we are loved, loved unconditionally. In fact, when God is pleased to call us His children, it's because God delights in us. Or to put this in other words, God doesn't need us, but He wants us. Isn't that great? And so God, much the way a human parent will spend time and invest in their earthly children, so God also, as our Heavenly Father, is spending time. He's investing in us because He loves us, He cares about us, He delights in us. He wants to see us grow and mature in Christ Jesus. He's looking for something to happen in our lives. Because we're God's children, and especially because of the very nature and the character of God, we're secure. We're very secure. In fact, we're more secure than I can possibly imagine or you can possibly imagine. But being children of God implies something else. It means we need to be humble and we need to be dependent. There is the prevailing viewpoint in our society that, oh, we don't need God. I don't need God as my crutch to get through life. I can make it on my own. Wrong. We are children of God as Christians, and that means we have come to see our utter need to depend upon God for everything. So with some of these thoughts in mind, let's explore this subject tonight. I have a few points. As children of God, we're trusting children. So if you have your Bibles, go to the Gospel of John chapter 1. We are trusting children. We are children who have come to trust, come to believe in God, believe in Christ. And so we relate to God as our Father in trust, in faith. If you will, go to the Gospel of John. We'll take all of these in order this evening. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We are trusting children. And isn't that often the character of real children? Children are innocent. They tend to be very trusting of adults. They're easily led, easily guided, easily taught. But when we become adults, we become overly analytical. We become supercritical. We question everything. It's not always a bad thing. That can be a good thing as well. We don't want to be naive or gullible. But children tend to be trusting. Notice what the Apostle John says here. Notice chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came to His own. He came to His own people. He came to the Jewish people. And His own people, the Jewish people, did not receive Him. They did not accept Him. They did not embrace Him. They didn't believe in Him. They didn't think that He was the person that He claimed to be. But notice verse 12. But as many as received Jesus, to them Jesus gave the right or the ability or the capability to become children of God, even to those, or especially to those who are believing in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. So we're children of God because we have undergone a new birth. We have been born again. We have undergone what is called regeneration by means of God's Holy Spirit. We were once dead in relation to God. Now we are very much alive to God, having been infused with the life of God's Holy Spirit. So we are those who believe, we trust in the name and in the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And number two, we are secure children. We are secure children. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. If ever there is one chapter in the New Testament that is just full of security for the Christian, security for the believer. It's Romans chapter 8. If you will, notice Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, say verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death or mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are being led, present tense verb, as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So one of the privileges we have as being sons of God is that God has given us His Holy Spirit, and we're being constantly led and directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to help us to recognize what is evil, what is contrary to the will of God, and to shun those things and to do the will of God. Notice by way of explanation, verse 15. For you Christians, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received, that is, received from God, what? The Spirit of adoption. We receive the Holy Spirit who oversees our adoption, who oversees our new life in Christ. And by means of the Spirit, we're able to cry out and say, Abba, Father. The word Abba is the Aramaic word for Father. Probably included here because the early disciples, the first Christians, actually heard Jesus pray. And they heard Jesus use that Aramaic word, Abba, in His address to God the Father. And it was so moving to these early Christians, they felt they should preserve that Aramaic word when they wrote the New Testament. Most of the New Testament was written in Greek, so they included the Aramaic word, Abba, Father. And that's one of the great privileges that we have as children of God. We have ready and easy access to God. We can just call God Daddy, Daddy. And we have that sense of familiarity with God. I've often used the illustration that if you and I wanted to see the president, we're not going to get into the Oval Office very easily, are we? But if you're the president's daughters, you have very easy access into the Oval Office to see the president because the president is your daddy. And so we have easy access to God because God is our Father in heaven. Well, notice the ministry of the Spirit in verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is bearing witness, is testifying to our own human spirit that what? That we are, what? Children of God, that we belong to God, that God loves us and He cares about us, and Christ died for us, and we've been adopted into the family of God, never to be adopted out of the family of God. And this also means something else in verse 17. And if we're children, that means children of God, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. In other words, God has a wonderful plan for us. He has a wonderful future for us, and it's secure and it's safe. We're inheritors of all the good things that God has for us. We will co-inherit all the good things that God has for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't help but notice verse 32. He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Jesus freely give us all things just because we're His children? You know, when the boss of the company dies, he usually doesn't leave the company or his assets, including his personal assets, to the employees of the company. He leaves all of his assets and he leaves all of his wealth and he leaves all of his property to whom? To his children. Because his children are the heirs. We're secure. God really loves us and God is committed to us. And He has great things in store for us. Go to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Just go past 1st and 2nd Corinthians and we come to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 26. The Apostle Paul says here, Galatians 3, verse 26, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So at the moment we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the one who died for us, we immediately become sons of God. We immediately become children of God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, you're behaving like Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, but you are all one in Christ Jesus. You might paraphrase that and make it suitable to our contemporary day. There is neither Caucasian or African American or Hispanic or Asian or any other race. We're all one in Christ. We're neither rich nor poor. We're all one in Christ. There's neither Democrat or Republican. We're all one in Christ. Notice verse 29, if you are Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise, that is the promise that God made to Abraham, that through one of his descendants, namely Christ Jesus, all the earth will be blessed, and we are truly blessed through Christ. Notice verse 1 of chapter 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from the slave or the employee, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. The elements of the world probably refers to man's rules, man's laws, whether political or religious or otherwise, man's way of doing things, man's way of trying to make himself acceptable, and so forth. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to rescue, to liberate those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The adoption as sons. That we might receive the placement as sons into the family of God. Notice verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, or enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. All that God is going to give to Jesus Christ, we will also inherit as well. We are secure children. We're beloved children. Notice Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We are loved. Or the text here uses the word dear children. The text here is telling us, well, follow God. Live like God your Father. You know that a child often behaves like his or her parents. A son in many ways is really, well, as the old saying goes, a chip off the old block. Notice what is said here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Be followers of God as His beloved children. And that's what the word dear really means in the original language. It means loved. Those who have been loved by God. And then we're told to walk in love because that's how God behaves. God sent His Son into this world to show us that God is a God of love. So if we're going to follow and live like God, our Heavenly Father, we need to have love in our lives. So we're told that we are beloved or dear children. You will now go to Hebrews, Hebrews 12. Number 4 tonight, we are disciplined children. Well, this is the part that we don't like. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Because we're the children of God, yes, God loves us and He cares about us. But that also means that God, as our wise Heavenly Father, will discipline us, will train us, will guide us and direct us in the right way, even if it must hurt. You're there in Hebrews 12. Notice verse 3. For consider Him, that's Jesus Christ, who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, none of them have died as a martyr for their faith in their willingness to live for God and please God as they try to resist the evil and the sinfulness around them. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Now we have a quote from Proverbs. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which we all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Why does God discipline us? Why does God chasten us or train us? It's to make us more holy. Notice verse 10. They chastened us as it seemed best to them. That's referring to our earthly human parents. But God chastens us for our own benefit, for our own profit, that we may be partakers of God's holiness. Ouch. Chastening hurts. Discipline hurts, but it's for our own good. We who are parents, because we love our children, we want to see them grow in the path that's good and right before the Lord. So if we're children, we may have to endure his chastening. But it's a good thing. It's God telling us, I love you, I care about you. Number 5, we are obedient children. We are to be obedient children. Notice 1 Peter. Just go past Hebrews and James, we come to 1 Peter. I think it's safe to say that as children of God, that means there are responsibilities that come upon us. And it's not so much just having God to be there for us whenever we need him and to give us all the good things we want and to love us and to care about us and to secure our future. But being children of God means that I must be obedient to God, my Heavenly Father. Notice, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Peter says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, or gather the loose ends of your brain. Think straight, is what he's saying. Be sober, be sensible, and you rest your hope fully, completely, totally upon the grace, that's the grace of God, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As, and this is how we're to live our lives, as those who are hoping for the soon return of Jesus, we are to live as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, the former passions, the former desires, as in your ignorance when you were ignorant of God. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we are to live as obedient children. And then number 6, we are to live as hopeful children. Hopeful children. If you will, go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And here as we read, we'll notice the Apostle John's excitement about us Christians being the children of God. If you're there in 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 28. And now, little children, abide or remain or dwell in him, continue in Christ, persevere in Christ, that when Christ appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. But if you know that Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Now chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. It's amazing. God has extended to us such great love, such deep love, such magnificent love, so as to designate us as children of God, and God relates to us as His children. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a joy. How well off we are in Christ because we're children of God. And then John goes on to say, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. The world doesn't know us, it doesn't recognize us, it doesn't respect us because the world didn't respect Jesus either. Beloved, right now we are children of God. And just imagine all of that statement, children, children of God, says. We're loved. We're secure. We have a future. God cares about us and He's investing us more than we can possibly understand or realize. Right now, we are children of God. It's not something that we're going to become when Jesus returns. Right now, you're children of God. And then the text says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be or what we shall become, but we know that when Jesus is revealed, when Jesus is unveiled, when Jesus is disclosed, that's at the second coming, we shall be like Jesus. For we shall see Jesus as He is. You know, there's benefits to being children of God. And there's a lot of benefits still to come. Something amazing is going to happen at the second coming of Jesus. We're going to be like Him. I suppose we'll be like Him in our character. We'll be completely transformed. We won't sin anymore. We won't even have evil thoughts. We won't say anything that's hurtful or injurious to others. We won't do anything evil or outside the will of God. That will be a thing of the past. But we'll also be like Jesus in that we'll have victory over death. We'll no longer be subject to death anymore. We'll have new resurrection bodies like the resurrection body of Jesus. In every way imaginable, we'll be like Jesus because we will see Jesus in all of His glory. We don't see Jesus right now, so we have to wait for the day when Jesus is revealed. Now notice verse 3. And everyone who has this hope, this hope of waiting for the second coming of Jesus, this hope of being children of God and becoming like Jesus when we see Him, everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself and keeps on purifying himself just as Jesus is pure. We are children who live in hope. And lastly, number 7, we are distinct children. We're distinct. We're different from the other kind of children in the world. Notice if you're there in chapter 3, notice verse 10. This will be the last verse we'll look at tonight. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest, or are revealed, or are disclosed. And so John is about to say how we can recognize the true children of God, those who belong to God and have God as their heavenly Father, and those who are children of the devil and have the devil as their father. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So God, our Heavenly Father, is so working in the lives of all of His children that we practice righteousness and we learn to love. Those are the telltale signs of being true children of God. Well, having said all of this tonight, I want you to take special encouragement. I want you to have a special sense of joy, a special sense of pride, a special sense of happiness, a great sense and a profound sense of security that we're children of God. We belong to Him. We've been inducted into the family of God. And once we're inducted into the family of God, we will not be inducted out of the family of God. We belong to Him and we're His forever. It's all about a relationship. May God help us to enjoy this relationship, maybe as we have enjoyed perhaps a good relationship with our earthly human parents, but this one is much better. Maybe our earthly parents weren't all that. Maybe they didn't always measure up to our expectations, but God as our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. He is wise and loving and all good and truly has our best interest at heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the revelation of Your Word that You have told us that we're Your children. And Lord, you tell us this, and you've given us the Holy Spirit to help us to appreciate and to understand that we're your children. We belong to you. This is a relationship that we have with you, the true and the living God. And you relate to us as our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and is investing in us more than we will ever understand or appreciate. And Lord, help us as your children to trust in you and to be humble and to be dependent and to be obedient. And help us to wait patiently as hopeful children for you to act at the second coming of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in the interest of Jesus' name. Amen. I've chosen as our final hymn 574.